Good evening, everybody. Hello, everyone. It's the Fakeologist Show, Tuesday, May 30th, 2023. Not 3023. Wow. Imagine if it was 3023, 1,000 years later. You'd be talking to AI on steroids. How's everybody tonight? Fakeologist Show here. Gonna call Lynn Ertel tonight. Get her on the ringy dingy dingy line.
You're on the air.
You're on the air with Lynn Ertel. I just dialed you in with the theme music. Can you hear it?
Sure, I can hear it.
That was the theme song for our national radio station's flagship morning show. I just thought I'd lift it since no one else is using it.
Who are the performers? It's a jazz band, right?
I guess. I do not know. But
find that out, maybe.
Yeah.
It sounds like it could be the Modern Jazz Quartet, but I could be wrong.
Well, it's the Metro Morning Theme Show, and I used to listen a little bit to it. Peter Zowski, he's long since smoked his way into heaven or hell or wherever you think they go. And yeah, I thought I'd appropriate it. And let me get the FakeoTube website going here. We are live. I think we're live. Why isn't it live? Hold on a sec. Are we not live? FakeoTube, you must be live. I've got you live. Okay. Hold on a sec. Are we streaming to FakeoTube? That is an odd one. Okay. We're almost always streaming without an issue, Lynn. I'm going to reboot the FakeoTube server. Scheduler plugin inactive. What the hell is that? Are we having trouble or what? I would hate to...
You're the grand master of bandwidth.
I don't know what's going on. Why is FakeoTube not working? Come on, FakeoTube. Let's go. What the hell? Scheduler plugin inactive. I've never had FakeoTube fake out on me. And if we don't listen...
This is the live stream capability that FakeoTube has.
Yeah. It's always working. It says it's live here. Broadcast a live stream. I think I'm not. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Do you have any attendees in the FakeoTube chat? FakeoTube has a chat room, right?
Yeah, but it comes alongside the FakeoTube live stream. Let me just see if I can start off the stream and end the stream. This is ridiculous. I never have to go through this. Okay. I'll just stop it and restart it and see if that works. This is bad radio, Lynn.
Bad radio.
No. I mean, it gives people an understanding of how things really work.
I'll update.
And the difficulty that's involved in this, you know. So, like, you've got Joe Rogan probably has a full-time technical staff to handle all this crap, right?
Absolutely.
And he's not on as many platforms as you are, so.
Well, at least the plain old telephone system still works. I just updated FakeoTube with a click of a button here. Scheduler.
I understand, by the way, that YouTube is making updates on it used to be maybe every year or every 6 months they do an update, but I understand they're making updates now practically on a daily basis. That's not a good sign, is it?
Well,
those are patches, basically. They're patching things as they go along.
Well, it's gone banana. I'm just looking at my email box. It got flooded by FakeoTube, and it says the stream has begun.
So those are the notifications.
Yes, so it does notify. Interesting.
Why would you send you so many?
Yeah, I just got bombed with them. That never happened. So obviously there's something extremely wrong with
FakeoTube. Right, and FakeoTube is sort of relying on YouTube to some extent, right?
No, there's no relation between the two guys at all.
Well, but if you take a... Okay, I thought something had to originally appear. Oh, that's right, because I've seen you That's right. You have stuff from BitChute, from Vimeo, from... Right. But most of what you feature on FakoTube is stuff that at one time or another appeared on YouTube, right?
Well, not really. I don't really go to YouTube much because none of the truthers are there. It's just...
Okay, yeah.
So I just pull in stuff from all over the place, mainly Odyssey and BitChute. It's just there's something going on with FakoTube. So I sent an email to Brazil, where the guy who writes the software lives. So maybe he is still up, and he'll... I think it's 9:39 in Sao Paulo or wherever the guy
lives.
I
thought that was Epic Cash that maintained it.
They pay for it.
Okay, hey, and a shout-out, and people should support them just based on that alone.
That's
and, leaving the whole question of, you know, cryptocurrency speculation and investment aside, any cryptocurrency platform, I don't care who they are, that is supporting our efforts, we should support them. I mean, that's pretty reasonable, isn't it? You help your friends and you punish your enemies. Conversely, any crypto platform that's excluding us or censoring us or trying to sabotage us, we should destroy them.
You got that right.
That's fair game. That's how fair game works. I learned all about that from the Church of Scientology, fair game works.
Well, if you go to fake11.com/OD for Odyssey, and maybe I should have spelled out Odyssey, but most people can't spell Odyssey. We are live streaming over there. The stream is working. It's just that FakoTube is not receiving it. So we are on a couple of platforms. We're on Facebook in the Fakeologist group, of which you, Lynn Ertel, are the administrator. So we are there.
Even though I'm just in another, I guess in another 2 days.
Oh.
Or another day or two, I will be back. The ban will be lifted on my posting or commenting in groups. I got a 30-day ban for, because, you know, I was cross-posting to a lot of different groups. They caught me. They really did. You know, I'll copy some links and a picture. I call them placards, where I take some information and sort of put it on a sign and then post it as a graphic, which is much harder for their algorithms to parse, right, because it's a graphic instead of text.
Well, that's the whole idea behind memes, I guess. Is that why people created memes?
I think so. Well, memes are just a meme means memory. It's the idea that it's an easy way to something that would be ordinarily much too long to memorize. You can kind of compress and package into a meme. So it's a meme really means a memory device, right? Now, yes, of course, if you can get it down to the bare minimum. You know, the rise of something like Twitter, I think, with the hashtag and all that, really gave impetus to this idea of how much can you pack into as few words as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, that there's something to be said for that, because that's a sort of a military style of communication.
Yeah. Let me remind Lynn and everyone else, Lynn is not Uncle Vigilante. He's taking the night off. So Lynn...
He normally does Tuesday nights, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And I think Lynn should have her own day as well if she wants it. We should just have a day for Lynn to give us the Fakeologist news from the Facebook group and what she's found out.
I want Uncle Epic to address the bigger, you know, I keep wanting him to address the big picture.
Yeah.
With respect to cryptocurrency, the impetus toward FedNow, and then how FedNow is supposed to transition into their central bank digital currency, which I don't think will happen. But also the involvement of the World Economic Forum in promoting something called XRP. Is XRP a cryptocurrency? Are you familiar with it at all?
Well, I think Uncle Vigilante started off with XRP.
I'd like him... Well, I feel like one of the things... I realize that, you know, he's delving into the technical aspect of...
No, he's less technical. He's more showman, salesman, I believe.
All right, he's a marketing guy. But in order to market, well, you have to know a minimum amount of... I worked with marketing. I was in software development and maintenance, but I had to work with marketing people all the time, especially doing documentation, because we have to sell the product. In order to sell the product, you kind of have to know what it does a little bit. So, you know, he has to delve into what's unique about Epic Cash's approach to the blockchain technology that is distinct From something like Bitcoin or Ethereum or any of the others.
By the way, I think I got FecoTube going now just with my screwing around. So FecoTube is back. But, of course, you guys can always reliably get me on fake11.com/stream1. This is a radio broadcast mainly. fake11.com/radio1, fake11.com/stream1. So we are live. We've been live, so I'm not going to edit any of this because I'm too lazy. But we are on the FecoTube now. I don't know if let me just see if the guy responded to me. I guess not. So I figured it out. Wiggled a couple cables. And let me just say that this show is sponsored by our newest monthly donor, Greg Schantz. I want to say shout out to Greg, who has committed to a monthly donation. I don't know if he did that on purpose. If he did, fantastic. If he didn't, well, you can fix it. But Greg is donating $20 a month, which is fantastic because FecoTube, believe it or not, costs about $200 a month. So most of the donations go there to keep FecoTube going. Please share FecoTube. We're sort of stuck at, I have about 250 subscribers on FecoTube, which isn't enough, really. And so you're going to have to share it. I don't think Google even... What if we did a search for FecoTube? Would it come up at all? Let's just see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it'll come. I tried. I'm going after FecoTube because sometimes pages that I can't get to on my browsers, I can get to the cached version of the page. I do that through a Russian search engine called Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X. And when I do a search on FecoTube using the Yandex search engine, which, as I say, it's a Russian search engine, they always come up, and they come up, a lot of them come up. So now, Google, probably not as much, but, you know, Google is so, Google search results are so ridiculous, you know, they really are.
I don't trust them at all. Well, right, FecoTube, I mean, says it has 50 plus downloads on the Google Play Store, and it's not on, it's not on Apple iPhone. Not on Apple.
Why do we believe their numbers? Why do we
I don't really. It's not on the iPhone store because they didn't like the content. So that's fine.
That's ridiculous.
Course, without the iStore on Apple, you can't install it. Cannot install it. Where Google, the reason I like Google is that you can go to any repository and download apps. You don't have to go through just their store. So, but it's fine. It can also be run through your browser on your phone as well. So have no fear. But you're right. It does show up on pre-search. It does show up on Google.
There's also Bing, which is Microsoft's search engine. TikTok has a search engine that I understand now is more popular than Google.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, that could be the wave of the future. And then the Chinese Communists could come up with a search engine that is a little bit, maybe, obviously they're still going to control it, mm-hmm. but it may, in fact, be more free speech oriented than any of the American, European, you know, any of the standard search engines that we're using here in the West. Yeah. I've noticed some things show up on TikTok that would never be allowed on YouTube. But I've also seen what TikTok censors. So,
yeah,
you know, it does censor.
It censored one of my most popular videos, and I don't even remember what it was. Now, getting back to the donation, I'll just play George Bush here.
I know a lot of people want to send blankets or water. Just send your cash.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
That one and the other one that I like the visual of is mm-hmm. where he says, you know, we're going to hunt down these terrorists. We're going to hunt down Osama bin Laden. Now watch this drive.
I love that.
That's classic.
Bush, you know. Now watch. Watch me hit this drive. Yeah, that's a beauty.
Yeah, watch the drive.
Yeah.
Look how good I am on the golf
course. We must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers.
Thank you.
Now watch this drive.
And he could whack that ball.
Yeah, it looks like he got pretty good at it. Yeah.
Oh, it's very good. Hey. I love political theater, and I know you do too. You play close attention to political theater, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I find it a bit boring, and other times I find it insulting to my intelligence. And that gets us into this whole, well, the topic of interest that I wanted to raise tonight.
Yeah, go for it.
Was the contrast between the monolithic model of reality as opposed to the polycentric model of reality, and the idea that if things are so tightly controlled, there must be one monolithic authority that's running the whole metascript.
Yeah.
And whenever we see, you know,
British intelligence, I go with.
Yeah, everybody's always looking for that. Who's sitting at the top of the pyramid? Who's at the top of it? As if we would know exactly who they were. But my problem with that is that I think people, they rush to a monolithic explanation of things without fully explaining the polycentric character of the presentation. In other words, even if they're presenting and more often than not, polycentric is dual-centric. It's really just two sides, left-right, Democrat-Republican, you know, conservative-liberal. But they will from time to time introduce a third or even a fourth side, not so often. And communitarianism is an example where they're trying to simulate a third force to say, well, and coming out of the Cold War, we're neither communists nor capitalists. We're communitarians, and this is really something new. So that's an example of where they'll use a sort of triangulation to create the impression of polycentrism. And then everybody can take a side. Somebody can take a left, somebody can take a right, and somebody else can say, well, I'm a communitarian. I'm right in the middle. See? And there you have your illusion of polycentrism, the management of various controlled oppositions, the ability to fragment people and keep them in contention, fighting over secondary trifling issues, while basically you're controlling things from the top down. So, for example, if we looked at the question of cryptocurrencies, well, what we see, the way it's presented to us, is you've got all these cryptocurrencies out there that are in hot competition with each other for the market. But maybe that's not really what's happening at all. Maybe it's all being manipulated. And that would be a monolithic analysis of things. The example that I mailed you some links to tonight,
okay,
is a classic case of where you want a nuanced, and it's not enough just to jump in and say, well, it's monolithic.
Well, let me explain what we're talking about here. Is it? I think you're talking about the Texas Attorney General. I've not followed it, but it is sort of interesting to me because it's about the vaccines.
Exactly. That's why I brought it up. You see, if I had asked you who's the Texas Attorney General a week ago or even now, you'd say, I don't know. And if you'd asked me, I wouldn't know either. You know,
no.
Why do I know who this Ken Paxton is? Why do I know that he's the Attorney General of Texas? Because the first week of May, news stories emerged that this Ken Paxton was suing the pharmaceutical companies involved with the vaccine. I guess that would be principally Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J, on the grounds that they've made false claims for the efficacy of the vaccine. And there may also be, I haven't looked at the details of this lawsuit, it may also involve adverse effects that Pfizer and Moderna and J&J were dishonest about, or that they simply failed in their due diligence in terms of tests. There may be other aspects to this lawsuit. And the other thing I'd like to know is whether Ken Paxton is aligned with other attorneys general in several other states, such as, for example, Florida and other places, where the vaccine makers are now being taken into court and challenged. So that's how I know who this Ken Paxton was. I said, oh, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, looks like he's at least making the appearance of challenging Big Pharma on the vaccine. Now, ain't that something? I wonder if that'll make it to the Supreme Court or if it'll even need to make it to the Supreme Court.
Uh-huh.
Well, lo and behold, last week, a completely new narrative has emerged around Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. And what is that new narrative? That he's now accused by actually a majority of Republicans. He is a Republican. A majority of Republicans of corruption. And that moreover...
Is that the worst picture they could find of him? I guess you can't see the screen.
No.
They got the nose hairs coming out and he looks all...
And are we expected to believe that they only in the last week or two discovered these aspects? Because apparently some of it involved him taking favors from a rich contributor, the usual stuff that goes on with politics. But am I to believe that they only discovered all that he was corrupt in the last week or two? And boy, what a coincidence, I know, what a coincidence that within a week, basically within a week or two of all these news stories emerging that he's suing Big Pharma, you know, Pfizer, Moderna, over the clot shot, as you call it, correctly,
yeah,
I believe.
I think so.
Are we to assume that there's absolutely no connection between these two events, even though they occur back to back in time? I mean, so close together. And this is what's important to me. They've got a whole bunch of Republican legislators who piled on against this guy. Of course, the pro-Trump elements within Texas, because apparently Paxton is associated with Donald Trump. I think Trump, you know...
Is Paxton a Democrat?
No, he's a Republican.
Okay, so I just see the rhino led Texas House want to impeach him. So the Republicans want to get rid of him?
That's the whole idea. Okay. All of these Republicans are stabbing this guy in the back.
Oh, I see. So he's he's a Trumper, I guess. Okay.
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with Trump, because remember, Trump is showing for the vaccine.
Yeah, well,
going around the country selling the vaccine. I think this has to do... here's the question I would want answered.
Yeah.
If we are approaching this from this, posing the question, is it monolithic or is it polycentric?
Right.
That is to say, is all of this theater...
Controlled by one central body. Yeah.
Right. And Paxton has basically agreed to take a dive, as we say in boxing, or take a hit for the team. And have his career cut short or whatever's going to happen. I don't know. Or, you know, have to resign or be impeached or whatever will happen to him. That he's agreed to do this in order to be kind of like Alex Jones was with Sandy Hook. You know, we're going to make an example of this guy. We're going to hang him out to dry because he dared to challenge Big Pharma. So, like I say, I come back to the question I asked before. Is Paxton all alone amongst these attorneys general? And there should be a whole clique of attorneys general, principally Republicans, I would assume, suing Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J. Not just one. Not just one. I mean, the evidence is the same in every state. So that would be one question I want to be saying. If Paxton disappears, if he resigns, if he's impeached, if he's pushed out of the way, will the Attorney General's Office of Texas and whoever his replacement is, will they continue to pursue this lawsuit against Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson? And like I say, is it a class action suit? Does it involve other attorneys? It very much should, because if you remember the way the tobacco companies were sued, all the attorney generals of like 30 states or 40 states got together. And they all got payouts because of that. They were all together. Basically, it was all consolidated into one case. That's what you would expect to see happening here. But, you know, someone could say, well, it's just a coincidence. To me, the fact that all these rhinos, as they're being called, Republicans.
That means Republican in name only.
Right, exactly. That term rhinos means Republican in name. But really, it's about why Republicans... They're the ones behind this attempt to impeach this guy, get him to resign or impeach him. And also, how is Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, he's also a Republican, how is he going to handle this? You know, and how much does he have to say about this lawsuit against... Now, there is at least one link I sent you from ostensibly a Texas publication, news publication.
Is that the first...
I think it would be the very, very... I sent you an email by itself.
Yeah.
That poses the question of... The question I'm raising right here, apparently I'm not the only one who's dreamt this up. Sure enough, I knew when I went out there searching that somebody would be saying, the reason why they're going after Paxton is because of this lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies. And there is. Sure enough. Just as you would predict, there are people who are immediately jumping to that implication. I won't say conclusion because we don't have enough proof yet, do we?
Yeah, the Freedom First Network was the link. The email you sent me with one link.
Right, right. And what's the headline on that?
Too bad you can't. Is this the real reason Texas Uniparty Swamp members are targeting Ken Paxton?
Right. They call it the Uniparty Swamp.
They call Uniparty everywhere now. All countries seem to have Uniparties. I think that's what they call it.
Well, here it just refers to anybody that doesn't like Trump, right? In particular. Yeah, any Republicans that don't like Trump, I guess, are called.
I thought it was up here. It's any party that's just being paid off by Big Pharma. That's how I thought.
Right. They're all in the same. Right there. Because let's not forget, when we're talking about the Republican Party, well, first of all, you got Trump going around selling the vaccine and boasting that he saved how many million lives of the vaccine. He's considered the father of the vaccine, and he's going to be famous for it, and he wants credit for it. And Pfizer contributed $1 million to the Republican Party of Kentucky to build a new headquarters for them, the new office headquarters for them. $1 million, which maybe isn't as much as it used to be.
I should be looking on TikTok for all these feeds. TikTok, let me look for Trump father of vaccines. I shouldn't even be using YouTube. I'm the father of vax. Drag the slider to fit the puzzle. What slider? Oh, you have to solve a puzzle to log into TikTok. Isn't that nice?
Polycentrism, when you think about it, it leads you to see just how shallow or how phony some people really are. And a good example of that would be Mark Dice. Now, I just watched a video of Mark Dice going on and on about the history of Facebook and...
Here we go. Sorry. Let's see if he says it. Okay, it just says, I'm the father of the vaccine. Okay, that's not it. How about this one?
Well, this played right into their hands.
Okay.
And they want me to do public service messages and everything about everybody taking the vaccine. And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine because I was the one that pushed it. You know, to get it done in less than 9 months was a miracle. Fauci said it would take 3 to 5 years. He thought it was something that just wouldn't be that effective because it would take so long to get. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me. They have never, this is a very bureaucratic organization. I pushed them like they've never been
there
pushed
before.
There you
go. Trumpy. Yeah, so congrats, TikTok. This is the place to look for stuff, just like you said, Lynn, at the beginning.
And that speaks to the monolithic character of Big Pharma's control, the World Health Organization, the United Nations. You know, that tells you who's really writing the lines in this script. And because Trump is just reading from a script. If they'd have handed him the script that said, claim that you didn't know that you were deceived, that Fauci and Birx and the experts deceived you about the vaccine, and now you're really not sure and you don't know.
Yeah. Sorry.
Which, right, now, could he have done that? Could he have played that role? Could he have played the role that DeSantis, like DeSantis has actually hired a Surgeon General who's critical of the vaccine.
Right.
And critical of the COVID narrative. So that's a polycentric kind of thing, right? They're saying, well, look, there's somebody who's taking a contrary point of view to Trump.
But don't you think the backers, they create the dialectics, as we've always said. They fund both sides. So synthesis.
Right, they manage it.
Yeah, thesis, antithesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. So they cover both bases.
Yeah, they certainly want to monopolize all sides of the argument, but that doesn't mean we can ignore the polycentric character of the argument, because that's where that's where you drive a wedge into a narrow crack, mm-hmm. in the narrative, and then spread those open that crack up, It's like your friends up there in Oregon that chop down the tree. There's big
biochar, yay.
Yeah, biochar, right. What they do, they kind of make a deep, deep bite into the side of the tree and separate, and then they keep working that bite wide until the tree finally falls. We have to look at the cracks in the narrative that show how fake the polycentrism is. And I'll give you, there are so many good examples of this. Let's say, and I always run into this with people. Like, for example, if I run into somebody, you know, the other day I ran into one of my contemporaries, another baby boomer, she didn't have a clue, but, you know, out of nowhere she started, all that Trump, all that terrible Trump, oh, blah, 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 blah. And I just cut the argument short easily by saying, oh, I said, did you take the Trump vax? She says, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, if you took a shot of a mRNA therapeutic, which, by the way, could never have been legally marketed as a vaccine.
Right, but it's the way they got around it is a bioweapon.
So it's right, all they've military. Redefined it. Yeah.
Well, it's a bioweapon, so none of the normal rules apply. Even the FDA is cut right out of it.
Wow, so are they formally calling it a bioweapon?
Well, it's a countermeasure.
All right, a countermeasure. So
that's a military term, yeah.
You got it. Are they now saying that the COVID was a weapon that got out of the lab? Is that their new narrative?
No. You got to watch, if you're interested, Bailiwick News. This woman is great.
I saw that, yeah, about the militarization of this whole thing and how it was basically being run by the military.
And their excuse is we have to get a countermeasure in case our enemies develop a weapon. So they've created this countermeasure. That's the whole...
Version 2.0, all of the invisible enemy. And
yeah, take a look at Bailiwick News. She really lays it out. This is fantastic.
This,
the research here is fantastic.
Here's the question. So, as I say, I cut to the chase with her. I said, did you take the Trump vax? She says, what do you mean by that? I said, well, did you take a Trump vax or a Biden vax? I said, if you took any of the serums, the shots that were never approved but authorized for emergency use by the FDA under Trump's new rules under Warp Speed, anything that was authorized for emergency use before January 20th of 2021, which is when the new Biden administration was sworn in. Well, actually, officially sworn in on the 20th. Anything authorized for emergency use by the FDA since January 20th of 2021 is a Biden vax. So I said, so one way or another, if you took the shot, you probably took the Trump vax, not a Biden vax. So you took the Trump vax, right? And she got real. In other words... right away, I'm putting her on the spot because I'm saying, well, you let them shoot up into your veins this untested serum that Donald Trump created. It's his doing. His warp speed is what created this shot that you took. And she was just dumb. She didn't know what to say. I said, you did. I said, so you basically took the Trump vax, right? I kind of hammer her. I'm merciless with people on this. You understand, if I draw a conclusion and they won't say, yeah, you're right, I'll force them to say, yeah, you're right.
And how many people said they wouldn't take it because Trump rushed it? And then, of course...
I haven't encountered a single person to say that. Not one.
No, but even Kamala Harris said, I wouldn't take it.
They were all saying it before the election.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Andrew Cuomo was saying that he wouldn't. There's video clips of all these Democrats saying they would never trust a Trump vax.
Right.
They wouldn't take a Trump vax. Well, their rationale is, well, no, we took a Fauci vax because we believe in Dr. Fauci. Well, that must mean that Donald Trump believes in Dr. Fauci, too. So are Fauci and Trump together on this? If they are, all you Trump supporters are going to have to kiss Fauci's ass because that's in effect what Donald Trump is doing by going around saying he's the father of the vaccine. What he really means is that he and Anthony Fauci are the fathers of the vaccine and that they're together on this. You see where polycentrism leads them? Trump cannot separate himself from Fauci if he's going to go around trying to take credit for the vaccine. On the other hand, if he doesn't want to bear the blame for all of the negative shit, the negative blowback that's going to come out of this vaccine thing, like attorney generals suing Pfizer and proving in court that not only does the vaccine not work in preventing a COVID, but that...
Well, they never said it would prevent it. They only said it would lessen...
Right, they said it would mitigate it.
It would mitigate the symptoms, yeah. So you wouldn't go to hospital. I mean, it doesn't
even
matter.
Well, that's not what they said at first. That's not what they said at first.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, we have mounds and... Yeah, mounds and
mounds. They've changed the story 100 times. You're right. And
right.
I posted a couple pretty good clips on FakoTube on that. A couple of mashups. Did you see some of the mashups?
Oh, yeah. You've got Deborah Burks Maddow and Biden himself all saying, oh, no, take it and you'll never get infected. You'll never blah, blah, blah. They'd like the whole world to just forget that. That's another thing about polycentrism is it's very shallow. In other words, if you try to remind people, hey, all these Democrats were saying they'd never take a Trump vax. But as soon as Trump was gone, they mandated the vax for everybody. And they all lined up to take it. It's the same vaccine. It's the one that Trump produced.
Yeah. Show note number 6. As we're going along, I make show notes. The Fakeologist Facebook group is show note number 4. So you can click on all the links in the show notes. This is FAK724 with Lynn Ertel. And you have a Facebook page as well, I believe.
Yeah.
You can friend Lynn or you can join the Facebook group, Fakeologist, if Facebook is your thing.
Got a few of them out there. We got a few followers out there.
There's a few.
Now here's another polycentric aspect that has to be addressed. And
by the way, it says you were on 4 hours ago. So you're back on Facebook?
I posted something on Facebook 4 hours ago, maybe.
So you are back on Facebook?
Oh, I've never been... I was not actually kicked off Facebook. What they did was they said I was not allowed to post or comment in groups.
Oh,
for 30 days.
I see.
In other words, so if someone set up a page under their name, I could comment on that.
Oh, but the Fakeologist group you can't get into.
Right, because it'd be a group.
Oh, isn't that funny? So do you think they banned you just because of the group?
I know what happened. I was cross-posting heavily to various different groups about various different subjects at a pretty high rate. I was. Because that can be very effective because, you know, you're cross-posting along different demographic groups, different groups of people. And I think they basically, their metric picked it up that, you know, I was posting so much of this across these different, too many groups, you know, like I'd post the same thing in a dozen different groups and they must have caught on. So, for example, I belong to about a half a dozen different 9/11 groups. And anything that comes along that pertains especially to the TV fakery or other subjects of interest, I'll cross-post in all of these groups. Because that's what I consider my role in the 9/11 truth groups is to push the issue of the TV fakery and the central role of the media. To push the September Clues perspective on this, that the media is at the center of it. You've got to understand the role of the media. That these are fake events, that they're staged, and you know, and I got caught doing it. So that's what that 30-day ban is, where I can't post in groups. It's good for another day or two. Now, as far as polycentrism goes, here's a question, and here's another one I've used in discussion with people. So, vaccine. You believe in the vaccine? You believe in the virus? You believe in the vaccine? Well, which vaccine did you get? Did you get the Moderna, the Pfizer, the Johnson & Johnson? And by the way, you know, the Chinese have one called Sinovac. Why wouldn't you take that? If you went to China, would you take the Sinovac? If you went to Russia,
Sputnik.
Would you take the Sputnik 5? Right. If you went to India, would you take the Novavax, which is the preferred vaccine? if they're going to tell us that this COVID is so dangerous that you've got to take these shots, well, why would you? Why is it trivial? Just which one? Oh, it doesn't matter. Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, they're all the same. Well, really? Are they all the same? Well, apparently they're not. Why are they being marketed by different companies if they're all the same? Well, it doesn't matter. Each of them will protect you. It'll just protect you in a different way. Oh, really? You mean they're not the same thing? Also, and this is a really important question. What about people from China who have been vaccinated in China, fully vaccinated in China, with the Sinovac, I assume, who want to come here, but they can't come here because the United States doesn't recognize the Sinovac as a legitimate vaccine? See, that's polycentrism. That's polycentrism with a vengeance there. Because we're saying to people, well, which is it, guys? Is the Chinese vaccine no good? Or maybe the Chinese vaccine is just as good or better? And how is it different from the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine that you took? And if it's different, well, how can it protect you just as well? Yeah, you see, the logic of this is so obvious, prima facie, on its face. If someone tells me, we got a dangerous virus here and you got to get vaccinated. Oh, really? Which vaccine, guys?
Right, and well, how many? And how many?
Yeah, right, and how many? Exactly, and how many boosters? And, you know, so they get tied up in knots with this stuff because their narrative is inherently contradictory and inherently inconsistent. And that means somebody's lying. They're either, well, they're lying, obviously, is what it means. What are you guys saying? Are you guys saying that the millions of Chinese who took the Sinovac might just as well not have been vaccinated? Is that your position in the World Health Organization? Because Tedros and the World Health Organization, they don't have any problem with the Chinese vaccine. They might as well be the FDA because they've approved the Chinese vaccine. So what's going on here? And what about the Sputnik V? What about Russian tourists who might want to come? Well, they probably aren't allowing Russian tourists to come here, but Ukrainians maybe. Which vaccine have the Ukrainian? And I understand there's a lot of Ukrainian immigrants coming here now.
Well, is that right?
Which vax did they take? Did they take the Sputnik V? Would have been the only one available before the outbreak.
Why would they take a Russian vaccine? They hate the Russians.
Yeah, why would they take a Russian vaccine? Well, and then we got the question of the bio labs that were running in Ukraine, and what were they really doing, and what were they really up to?
Mm-hmm.
So, what I see is that people shouldn't rush to an easy assumption about the monolithic character of the Metascript, when what we sometimes need to explore are the inconsistencies and logical absurdities and contradictions inherent in the polycentric character of the narrative that we're being presented. And in particular, this has to do with the illusion of the nation state or these superpowers in contention. And this goes back to the Cold War. It really goes back to the Cold War, where we were convinced that all that mattered was this twilight struggle between the communists and the free world.
Right.
In that case, the polycentric character, of course, the Chinese were there too, but they didn't quite figure into the mix because it was mainly between the United States and the Soviet Union. And Vietnam was a proxy war between the United States and the Soviet Union, and the situation around the Berlin Wall was sort of a proxy conflict. And, you know, billions and billions of tax dollars spent on the Cold War. And the Cold War was entire. You could not have maintained that PSYOP, which is a massive, massive PSYOP that lasted decades, like, you know, damn near half a century. Well, basically from 1948 to 1989 is the Cold War. And unless people, let's look at the International Space Station. Yes. I don't hear the Russians calling that out as fake.
Oh, didn't right. They call they out that the moon landing was fake? Wasn't that the latest?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. But that's Yeah, that's kind of important because, you know, the Chinese communists, they have a space program of their own. And according to our media, the videos that you see from the Chinese space station are clearly fake.
Yeah, it happened May 9th. May 8th. Former head of Roscosmos now thinks NASA did not land on the moon. Woohoo.
And that's a Russian who's saying this.
Yep. Rogozin.
Well, that raises my next question, comrade, is this. Why are you participating in this International Space Station?
And the reason why, he says, is that we were actually orbiting the moon and we didn't see Apollo 11 land. So he's just,
oh, right. So you have to believe that the Russians were orbiting
the
moon.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So they'll always create a noise around doubt, but they'll never express the proper doubt that there is no space, actually. We can't go to space, et cetera, et cetera. And I should link to Clues Forum right now, because Clues Forum is effectively dead, by the way. Just
really?
Absolutely dead in terms of content.
Nobody's showing up there to...
No. Actually, it's funny because a couple of years ago, they had Sacred Cow Slayer, who took over moderation and really was doing a lot, but...
I remember Hoi Polloi. I think the last time I was there, Hoi Polloi.
Yeah, yeah. But after that, it's just dead. Let me hear. Okay, it's the big thread, and some of the better threads are Apollo and more space hoaxes. So I'll put a link to this here on my site.
So somebody comes at me on Facebook saying, well, of course we walked on the moon, or how dare you question NASA? There's a million things I can put. There's so much great stuff out there. But what if I just posted this statement by that Russian what do you think this guy thinks? He says, we never landed on the moon, and they have proof. Are you calling him a liar? Are you calling this Russian a liar? You know,
and the only one that I ever hear talking the way we do is IPS. He's the only one out there.
Well,
there should be way more.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one. He is predisposed toward a monolithic interpretation of things. Mm-hmm. He will always go toward the monolithic pole of interpretation, and generally will dismiss any polycentric aspects of it as staged, controlled opposition, scripted, phony, fake. And I'm not always so ready to do that. I say that sometimes there are people who get thrown under the bus, and they do betray each other. And more often than not, their conflicting narratives, allow you to discredit the overall metascript, because they can't have it both ways. Really, if the Russians are saying that we never walked on the moon, they're participating in the International Space Station. Is that for real or not? You can't have it both ways. But, you know, it's weird, the sort of cognitive dissonance that people will hold, this idea of holding these two thoughts in your mind at the same time that are completely impossible. They can't coexist. So how are you managing to maintain any kind of explanatory coherence for the world you live in? And this was the case during the Cold War. We would periodically hear that American farmers would have gone out of business had they not been able to sell their surplus wheat to the old Soviet Union. So, you know, people would say, well, this doesn't make any sense. We're supposed to be in this deathly twilight struggle with international communism, and yet we're supplying the Soviet Union with wheat and other commodities. Why is this happening? I don't understand this. And, you know, they can't have it both ways. They can't talk about provoking a war. Well, this is happening now, too. It's happening now because Lindsey Graham is over there in Ukraine talking about the threat of a nuclear exchange with Russia. And my understanding is that the Russians have issued a warrant.
Yeah, that's all BS, don't you think?
Right, it is. But at the same time, it's kind of an opportunity to expose Lindsey Graham. And I got to believe that the Russians know things about Lindsey Graham. and have information on him that they're holding in reserve that could really be used to destroy him.
Well,
although I even wonder if people in South Carolina would care.
They wouldn't care. He's indestructible.
How can that be? I mean, how can that be? Right? It's so crazy. How can we be on the verge of bankruptcy and yet be sending billions more to Ukraine? You know, how can we be arguing about the debt limit?
Here's Tim Osmond. He went to speak at the town council. I wonder if he ever, Mark Sargent put this on his channel. I wonder if Tim has ever played this.
Again, come on down, and that'll be followed by Donald Couchman and Eric Schultz. I say welcome.
Hello, the name is Mark Sargent. That's
wrong.
Now that's going to be a tough act to follow, but I'll do my best.
Oh.
Okay, I just wanted to draw, council members, thank you for listening. I want to draw the public's attention to what may be an extremely egregious example of malfeasance, and just to help illustrate the gravity of the situation. Imagine if the federal government gave $19.5 billion to Hollywood. I think we'd all be pretty upset by this. Well, there is a growing body of evidence that the International Space Station is not in outer space, but it's being filmed in a desalinated pool down here on Earth, and it's being falsely misrepresented. And this started with this phenomenon known as bubbles in space. If you search for it, you'll see many of these so-called spacewalks, which have been falsely misrepresented as live, as has been exposed many times on Facebook when they do their live ISS feeds, bubbles out in space. Well, there's not supposed to be water up there. And it is known that the astronauts do train in these big underwater tanks. And so this body of evidence, and it's not just bubbles in space, there are harnesses or green screens, evidence of flights that are actually on parabolic flights, not in space. And if this is true, it's a big deal, because that's a lot of money that could be used for our own infrastructure or schools, whatever. So I'm drawing the attention to it because I think it's something that deserves to be looked at. Because if it's true, these bubbles in space might represent the smoking gun in probably the biggest hoax since global warming. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Do you remember that? Have you seen that?
Yeah, I remember that. And I always wondered why he used Mark Sargent's name.
Well, I think Mark Sargent was the most famous flat earth guy.
I've never been a fan of Mark Sargent. I mean, he's pretty much a biblical flat earther, and I always feel like that's not science, what they're about. It's not cosmology the way I understand it. It's religious faith, but that's okay. It's not the same thing, though. And same thing with David Weiss, you know. They're not bringing objectivity to the table when they immediately assume that somehow or other they can use the Bible as a scientific reference. The Bible is a poetic and an allegorical document and can provide some guidance as far as that goes, but that's not the same thing as scientific research. It's not the same thing as collecting data. It's not the same thing as formulating a falsifiable hypothesis and then testing that hypothesis using an experiment. It's not the same thing as creating reproducible results that can then lead to a theory, a consistent theory. That's what science is, a scientific method is about. So, yeah, that's my only, my objection to Mark. Well, and the other thing, of course, is that apparently Mark Sargent and David Weiss and others are shielding compromised individuals who in some cases have been convicted of sexual offenses with underage girls. So that came out during that Flat Earth Convention that Jimmy Kimmel infiltrated. So that's a whole mess to get involved. That's explained in great detail in Tim Osmond's Behind the Perv, which it explains the corrupt sociology of that whole movement and how it's been manipulated, and raises a question: why would the federal government have gone to so much trouble to infiltrate and subvert and influence this so-called flat earth movement. Actually, calling it flat earth to begin with was a way of, instead of saying, hey, we have an alternate cosmology, or we're questioning, we're raising basic fundamental questions about the Copernican or Keplerian model, the heliocentric model, and we're posing the possibility of a geocentric model and a stationary earth. And that's one thing, that's speculative cosmology. But that's really such a separate issue from exposing NASA's hoaxes. And when Clues Forum initially, when this flat earth stuff first showed up in about 2015, 2016.
Yeah, 2015. With Eric Dubé. Was it Eric first and then Mark? Yeah.
Well, Eric Dubé was one of the first two I came across. And right away, Simon Schack and the commentators over at Clues Forum says, you know something, this is a poison pill.
Yes.
To ruin our movement to expose NASA, because we don't need to consider any questions.
Discredit by association.
Right. Discredit by association. Exactly. Set up a straw man. Let's set up a straw man. Oh, you must be a flat earther. You say NASA is hoaxing us. You must be a flat earther. No, not necessarily. I may have no opinion on that at all. Or I may think that, in fact, the Copernican / Keplerian model is still valid.
July 13th, 2015, Simon made his post on Clues Forum. I'll put a link to that. Right. A lot of show notes tonight. That's show note number 11. And we got about
now,
10,
I don't know if his,
we got yeah, about five, Simon, 10 more minutes, by the way, Lynn. So I want to wrap it up.
I have to. So, you know, at least Simon and collaborators have sort of come forth with their own alternative cosmological model, a kind of a binary symmetric model. That's interesting to look at. It's worth looking at and examining and compare, because it apparently has a greater level of consistency and explanatory coherence than the classical Keplerian model. But that's such a separate question. You know, it really bothered me when I said, why is it such a high priority for you to get on here on Facebook or in social media and argue for flat earth when our real priority should be exposing NASA and leaving that whole question of the shape of the earth, just leave that aside for now. Why do you want to, I'm not the only one that's observed this, you know, others have noted this as well. Matt McKinley of Quantum of Conscience has said that it's obvious that they wanted to poison the anti-NASA, you know, the movement to expose NASA, Apollo, and the ISS as fakery and as hoax is the best way to destroy it and undermine it was to conflate it with flat earth cosmologies, which most people are not ready to accept. You wouldn't believe how many times I ran into someone who said, you must be one of those flat earth tards. Flat tards. Are you a flat tard? You're a flat tard. No, I have no particular opinion on that, but I could clearly see through NASA's fakery. This is the same thing they did with no planes as opposed to TV fakery. I never wanted to use that phrase, no planes. Really, it's like proving a negative. They could have had flyovers on that morning. I don't believe they were holograms or anything like that, but that's not really the issue. The issue was not planes or no planes, or did they hit it with missiles, or what did they? Something that looked like a plane, or maybe not at all. Maybe it was complete. I happen to think it was all digital fakery. It was all TV fakery, and that's all that we needed to assert was TV fakery, TV fakery, TV fakery. But you know, I remember that argument. Gerald Holmgren stubbornly insisted that it had to be no planes, no planes, no planes, and that's because Morgan Reynolds was using the phrase no big Boeings, because Reynolds was not convinced that there were no planes at all. He thought it might be possible that either a missile or something that looked like a small plane was sent into the South Tower for that clip. He wasn't going to rule that out, but he was going to say there's no way that Boeing passenger jets did this. That's ridiculous. And what were being shown on TV are cartoons. And he did that. He went on Fox and he said, those are fake, those are cartoons. Boy, was he ridiculed for saying that about the images of Flight 175 smoothly disappearing into the steel-reinforced concrete of the South Tower, like, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost, like a hot knife through butter. Clearly, physically impossible. Physically impossible. And that's, you're into that whole straw man cycle there, because you say, hey, you know something? This is fake. And someone says, well, what are you saying? There were no planes? I didn't say that. I said, I didn't say there were no planes. I'm saying this clip is fake. Now, will you admit that it's physically impossible or not?
Well, this is the first for me. We're doing a pre-recorded show, not a live show. Usually by the time I tell you, you're listening to Black Ball really quick, but we're doing premiere right here on YouTube today, and I got no other than David Holmgren for me. He's the brother of the late, great Gerald Holmgren, who's pretty much the pioneer of 9/11 truth. A lot of researchers have piggybacked off his research, and Gerald has built a legacy, and unfortunately, he's no longer with us. He passed away in 2010.
Have you heard this interview with Raleigh Quaid? Raleigh used to be on Fakeologist.
I think I have, but it's been a long time. Because Holmgren died. It's been about 10 years since Holmgren passed on, right? Or so we were told. I hope we don't think he's another
fake. He was diagnosed with an inoperable cancer, and then 2 weeks later, he passed away.
Aggressive cancer.
I think that is true, yeah. So we were sort of excluded from his life in those latter years. He came to the conclusion, I think, that some of the bad luck or difficulties in his life were...
I think I'm going to put this on FakeoTube, thanks to you, Lynn. Because it might be worth listening to. Anyone wants to listen to that?
Yeah, some people might consider it inside baseball. But, you know, if someone who is studying the history of the 9/11 truth movement,
yeah,
and especially the no-planers, because Holmgren was the original no-planers, what he did was almost immediately, he went out and he looked at the BTS database and saw that at least two of the flights, Flight 77 and Flight 11, didn't even exist on the BTS database.
Yeah.
That they never took off and they never landed. And I think he said the other two, which is Flight 93 and Flight 175, I think he showed the takeoffs but no landing. He showed there were anomalies in the BTS database, which is a real-time database, that suggested that the flights didn't exist. Of course, people were already looking at the Pentagon and they could see absolutely no evidence of a plane crash. We have a witness to that effect in one of the Pentagon employees, April Gallup, who showed up at work with her daughter, her baby daughter, and then as soon as she turned on her computer, boom, there was an explosion and a piece of the roof collapsed. She didn't suffer any serious injuries. I think she had, you know.
That was just another lie witness, I would call it.
I don't know about that. I find her story very credible.
Oh, okay.
She said she was visited and harassed by the FBI. I've listened to interviews with April Gallup. I've read the transcripts, and I have no problem with what she's claiming, because there was a bomb that went off at the Pentagon.
Well,
that hole in the wall.
Yeah, but do you really think anyone was around?
Well, they had that whole area cleared. They were doing construction there.
Right. Exactly.
Do I think anybody was killed? No, probably not. Probably not.
No.
But do I think that there might have been some debris that fell on people? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's very possible that she was in an adjoining room when that bomb went off, and she said she climbed right through the hole that the bomb created. Why would she? I mean, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying. Well, they're just putting these witnesses out there. Well, her story sounds credible to me.
Right.
And she insisted there was never any, she never saw any plane debris. Why would she be saying that? And she's very credible. She sounds very credible. So, and this is important to me because we didn't go to war because somebody took down Larry Silverstein's complex. We went to war because somebody staged a bombing at the Pentagon. And that was it was a hoax, but it was also a false flag, because it was the excuse that was used to take us to war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, good show today, Lynn. You're always full of good entertainment. Oh, we saw there's one little Facebook message. Hi, Lynn Artel. I don't know who typed that in. because I wasn't on Facebook and not too much chatting tonight. I guess everyone was just listening intently. I made quite a few notes about everything you said, Lynn. So if you go to the show notes, you're going to see 11 notes. We talked about many different things. And I always like that we end in fakery, NASA fakery, 9/11. That's the nature and the spirit of the show, so I appreciate that. And thanks, everybody, for donating. Thank you again, Greg, for your fantastic monthly donation. I appreciate that. Thanks to all the one-up donations and also the monthly sustaining donations that some people have been donating for years. So thank you so much. And tomorrow I might try and get on Mother Trucker, who also made a donation in Epic Cash. See what a normie, non-professional promoter says about Epic Cash. I'm going to send her a note. She's very generous with her Epic Cash and with the community as well. And are we going to get Lynn Ertel an Epic Cash wallet?
Well, you know, I gotta get a device for that.
Not even a smartphone.
No, I don't even have a smartphone. I gotta get a smart device for that.
Well, wow. Interesting. You really held out.
And I'm kind of off the grid that way. And I do want to hear Uncle V discuss what's going on with the World Economic Forum and XRP. I'd like to know.
Okay, well, he listens to this show, so Uncle V, next time you can address Lynn. And Lynn, I hope to see you back on the Fakeologist forums, of course, if you can get that going. And, of course, on the Fakeologist Facebook forum or group. Hopefully you'll be back on there posting away. And this is Lynn's Facebook page, as you can see here. And send her a message there if you want. Okay, Lynn, thank you for coming on at the last minute. I appreciate it.
It's always fun.
Okay. Keep researching, and we'll talk to you next time.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Lynn. There goes me. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. See who comes on tomorrow. Maybe we'll get the Mother Trucker and talk a little Epic if interested. Otherwise, thank you for joining, and we'll see you next time. Good night.